try to create a suit of armor around the world. But I created something terrible.
Artificial intelligence.
It's called the Ultron program.
I'm sick of watching people pay for our mistakes.
Isn't why we fight so we can end the fight and go home?
Well, you amazingly failed.
Hey everybody, it's been a 007 back for another 10 minutes spoiler-free movie review, and today I'm talking about Avengers Age of Ultron. This is the latest movie in the incredibly complex Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it is Joss Whedon of Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame back to direct the follow-up to the original Avengers Assemble movie. It's hard to state just what a tough task Joss Whedon has. He has to create a film and write a script which contains so many superheroes, so many characters whose backstories we are engaged in. And then he has to balance all that with the fact that they tie in to their own standalone movies. And there's this whole kind of set of spinning plates that he has to keep in the air. And throughout all this, he knows he has to give us major action set pieces that defy everything that we've seen before, but he also still has to give us the heart and the entertainment that keeps us hooked on these movies. Do I think that Joss Whedon has succeeded in this film? I think he really has. It's not a film that I enjoyed as much as Avengers Assemble, but then to me that was really the high watermark. I just found some of the action set pieces that have to go bigger or go home slightly tedious, but this is kind of something that I bring to these movies. I don't want to criticize them overly on that aspect. But what I really loved about Age of Ultron is that these movies are moving and they're thoughtful and they have characters with real nuance. And it says a lot about the film that when I came out of it, I had a really distinct idea of the character arc, not just of my old favorites, but of the new characters. And I think that Joss Whedon should really take a lot of praise for that. It's a really hard act to pull off. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. And this is a spoiler-free review, but I'm going to try and trace out the basic, and it's a very complex story arc that's going on here. We have a kind of prequel sequence in which we're in a made-up Eastern European country called Sokovia, and some of the key Avengers, led by Iron Man, Tony Stark, have discovered a Hydra outpost, and it's run by this evil Nazi scientist, as it always is, called Wolfgang von Strucker, who's played by the wonderful Thomas Kretschmann, and he's been experimenting on humans using the MacGuffin of the piece. So the MacGuffin of the story is Loki's scepter. And he's managed to kind of, manipulate, enhance two twins called Pietro and Wanda Maximoff, who are played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson, who you'll know from the Kick-Ass films, and Elizabeth Olsen, who you'll know from Godzilla, probably. And he turns them into evil baddie people. So the guy, the male twin, Pietro, is super fast, and the girl has, like, unspecified but weird psychokinetic powers in which she can take you and make you see your vision of your worst fears and kind of manipulate you into doing stuff. So anyways, Iron Man, aka Tony Stark, gets Loki's scepter and takes it back to the Avengers HQ. And they have 3 days to get as much data and scientific knowledge out of the scepter that they can before Thor's going to take it back to his home world. And so really, this is kind of act one. This is where it starts going crazy balls. Tony Stark decides that he is going to use the knowledge of the scepter to create this insane artificial intelligence. He already has his kind of friendly AI called Jarvis, voiced by Paul Bettany, who sort of, you know, helps him run Stark Enterprises and Avengers HQ, I guess. But now that he has this power, this kind of crazy power that's in Loki's scepter, he can create the ultimate AI. What he wants to do with that artificial intelligence is kind of end war. He wants to make a world where the Avengers can retire and go home because Earth is wrapped in this wonderful kind of defensive shield created by this AI. And of course, it just goes horribly wrong, right? Because artificial intelligence always goes well in films. So what he does is he creates this thing called Ultron, which is voiced by James Spader. And oh my God, that's just like the ultimate best casting choice ever in any Marvel movie. Because James Spader is slippery and charming and evil and strangely sane and convincing at the same time. It's such a good performance. And what I love about it is it's capturing everything that started off with Andy Serkis in Lord of the Rings. You know, it's the voice, it's performance capture. It just feels so real. So anyway, as if Ultron isn't scary enough, and by the way, he's so scary, he can kind of like run away from you into the internet and morph into a new body so you can never catch him. And he's got these weird genetically enhanced twins with him. And to get even more scary, he goes to South Africa and finds a tiny, tiny little bit of vibranium. And vibranium, if you recall, which I didn't, but what do I know, is a stupidly named metal from which Captain America's awesome balls shield is made. So you have amazing evil AI, surprise, surprise, doesn't want to protect the world but destroy it. You've got the two twins working with him, and now he has this like massively cool engineered metal. You have your evil villains right there. And what happens to the Avengers? Well, of course, the whole concept of having this psychokinetic woman, Wanda Maximoff, is she can make them fight each other. And my goodness, why shouldn't they fight each other? You've already got Tony Stark off in a corner secretly making, you know, destructive AI. So it's understandable that they would start falling apart. So they're on the run because they've caused untold mayhem in South Africa, and they have to kind of work out how they're going to defeat Ultron. And part of that is maybe going to be to do with getting together again with Nick Fury. And part of it is also going to do with maybe kind of using Jarvis. But I'll leave it at that, because I think you need to kind of discover the characters that this film brings to you all on your own. Perhaps the best way to discuss some of what is really awesome and cool about this film is to talk about some of the character arcs of the people in it. So of course, Iron Man, Tony Stark, played by Robert Downey Jr., is always at the center. And I think it's lovely how he gets really dark in this film. He's always been this kind of wisecracking, quite narcissistic, you know, sort of like super clever, super rich playboy guy. And in this film, you kind of see the logical conclusion of that narcissism, which is to believe that he can save the world and that he doesn't have time for a committee. He doesn't have time to explain himself to the other Avengers. And I think that's kind of dark and interesting. And we don't really see him face the consequences of that in this movie because he's too busy clearing up the mess he's created. I'd love to see how that plays out in the next film. I really liked the character of the Hulk, Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner in this film. I love the idea of this guy struggling to contain the green craziness and so conscious of not unleashing that around civilians and not letting himself be in love with Scarlett Johansson's Natasha Romanoff, like not allowing himself that closeness. It's so tragic and so beautiful, and it's another reason why I think this film is so emotional, and that is centered absolutely in Mark Ruffalo's performance. And actually, there's a scene where Scarlett Johansson, because of the psychokinetic twin who's making these guys relive their worst nightmares, you get a lot of backstory for Natasha Romanoff. And there's a very small scene with Scarlett Johansson where she kind of opens up as to her backstory and the vulnerability that she feels, which I think is really beautiful. The third character I think that's really interesting to explore is Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye, who I always thought was like the most redundant of the Avengers, like such a non-character, this guy running around with a bow and arrow, like totally uninteresting. And yet in this film, he becomes the heart of the film in a way. And I'm not going to reveal how or why, but suffice to say, if I were to draw a parallel, to me, he becomes the Samwise Gamgee. He becomes the guy who maybe isn't the big protagonist. Maybe he doesn't have the most heroic moments, but he's the most centered and the most grounded. And he's the guy that you want to save the world for in a way. So yeah, I'm so pleased for Jeremy Renner. I think he gets, in a sense, he gets the heart of the movie. And I love that Joss Whedon has done that. And then finally, let's talk about the twins, because Aaron Taylor Johnson as Pietro Maximoff, Quicksilver, he's not really given so much to do, I think, but be fast and be cool. But Elizabeth Olsen as Wanda Maximoff, I think, is a really interesting character. I love the journey, the arc of the Scarlet Witch in this movie. And again, I can't say too much because it's spoilery, but I think there's a real emotional payoff to them being twins and the interaction they share and the love that they share that, again, it's just a real beating heart at the center of this story. So when I look back at all that, I think this is a 2-hour, 20-minute film with a lot of action set pieces that are fantastic, right? That's what it does. And if I'm bored by it, it's kind of I'm bored by its goodness. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But in that 2 hours and 20 minutes, you have Bruce Banner, Black Widow story, which is very emotional. You have the twin storyline, which really packs an emotional punch. You have the glorious Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye finally getting some emotional heft. And then finally, I can't tell you about it because it's spoilery, but Jarvis. Jarvis and Ultron is these two AIs that aren't just these robotic, rational. They're not HAL from 2001 Space Odyssey. They're not scary and frightening because they're pursuing logical aims to their logical ends. They're these kind of newborns. They're these naive kids, kind of more like Frankenstein's monster. You know, children who are forced into this world, overloaded with imagery and are struggling to figure out how to bring their massive intelligence to bear on all this overwhelming and sometimes contradictory emotional information. And I love that. I love Jarvis and Ultron as reflections of each other and reflections on the world that's created them. Hopefully that's teased you with enough information that you think this is going to be an interesting movie to watch. So overall, as you can probably tell from my voice and from the amount of information I'm trying to pack in here, I think Age of Ultron's an amazing film. So if you've seen Avengers Age of Ultron, and I'm sure every one of you is going to regardless of the reviews, I'd love to hear what you think of it and whether you think I'm overdoing it a little bit. You can comment on the blog at Bina007.com. You can tweet me at @Bina007. But in the meantime, thank you very much for listening. Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron has a running time of 141 minutes and is rated PG-13. Okay, so hold on to your hats. Hat hold. I'm going to run through the release dates really super quickly. The movie is already on release in Belgium, Switzerland, Finland, France, Indonesia, Italy, Netherlands, Norway, Philippines, Sweden, Taiwan, Albania, Argentina, Austria, Australia, Azerbaijan, Brazil, Belarus, Chile, Germany, Denmark, the UK, Georgia, Hong Kong, Ireland, Israel, Iceland, South Korea, Kazakhstan, New Zealand, Russia, Singapore, Ukraine, Bulgaria, India, Vietnam, South Africa. The movie goes on release on April 29th in Egypt, Spain, Kuwait, and Trinidad and Tobago. The movie goes on release on April 30th, which is next Thursday, in the United Arab Emirates, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Chile, Czech Republic, Ecuador, Greece, Croatia, Iraq, the Republic of Macedonia, Mexico, Malaysia, Peru, Portugal, Serbia, Saudi Arabia, Slovakia, and Thailand. And then on May the 1st, which is next Friday, the movie goes on release in the USA, but also in Bangladesh, Bahamas, Canada, Colombia, Cyprus, Estonia, Ethiopia, Cambodia, Lithuania, Pakistan, Romania, Turkey, and Venezuela. And then finally, the movie rolls into Hungary and Poland on May 7th, China on May 12th, and finally into Japan on July 4th. So, thank you for listening.